show, you know, like they do. And this time, they didn't do a very good job editing the thing because they left out a lot of good stuff. Amen? Some of you folks that have been watching the complete messages, if you go back and watch the edit part of it, you'd miss a whole lot of good stuff. And so you can find it on Andy Stanley's website, or you can find it on YouTube and look at Andy Stanley. I'm happy if you hadn't done that. We'll have some. Since this is our last week, we have a bunch of these DVDs. And so if you want to borrow one from the church, just let me know, and we'll let you borrow one. If you hadn't got to see it, some of you guys hadn't been plugged into Life Group. And so myself and Mike also, we're preaching on the same thing, but it's not the same thing. You know what I mean? Kind of the same subject line, same the topic or something like that, but you're not hearing the message that what you're hearing in the thing. And I'll speak for myself. I don't know about Mike, but I think Andy does a lot better job than I do. Amen? And so it's a lot. He's got a lot of stuff that I'm going to leave out. Today, what we're talking about open hands. Now, this is a message that you hear a lot here. And this is why. I was convinced a long time ago that the most satisfaction I can find in life is giving my life to Christ. And that's not just talking about my salvation. It's talking about it's giving my life to Christ and giving my life to what God's called me to do. I feel like a lot of times, and I feel like other pastors would say the same thing, it's like we're trying to twist your arm to get you to be blessed. Because the world has lied to you and made you feel like that there's something better in life besides the things of God. Amen? And that's against what we live to. And I'm not saying they're not fun. I mean, I enjoy fun just like anybody else. I have hobbies and habits and all those things we talked about a few weeks ago. I have all those things also, okay? And I'm not saying we can have fun. But when it comes down to the bottom line, when you're looking for satisfaction in life, when you're looking to really be happy in life, let me tell you what, it all comes from Him. Amen? And the more you give your life away, then what you'll see is the more satisfaction you'll have with your life. And so what I do, my thing is this, is I'm growing older, and I want to finish well. I see a lot of people start out well in their Christian life, but they don't finish well in their Christian life. They begin to give up. Let me tell you what, you don't never retire on God. Just because you retire at 60 or 65 or 70, that doesn't mean you quit on God. And so all of a sudden, you start beginning to hearing this, well, you know, I did my part. You know, well, let me tell you, when God gets through with you, He'll carry you home, amen? And so until He gets through with you, you're still to serve Him in whatever capacity you can. For some people that's elderly, they're sickly and things like that, that might just have a prayer ministry or something like that, whatever it might be, but you're still here to serve God. And so today is one of those topics that I kind of get worked up about it because I'm thoroughly convinced, God has convinced me that the more I give my life away, the happier I really am. And it's not always been like that. I mean, I'm selfish just like everybody else does, and I have all these things that bombard me or come in and try to take over my life, and I let them sometimes. I have to reel myself back in. But I'm thoroughly convinced, and so the message today is something that's, I guess you'd say it's near and dear to my heart, and it really bothers me. It bothers me when I see people come into the church and they just sit down, and you've heard me make this statement a couple of times, is I don't know why we call this the service, because we leave here to go do the service, amen? And so we're serving out there, we're serving in the world, we're serving in the ministries of the church, not just when we walk here and sit down. This is a worship. This is a worship time. So we come in here to get something that we might go out and take it to the world and show them how much that God has given us. So let's get in here and see what it is. Today's message is a whole series has been, God, I want to be happy. And today's, it's called Open Hands. It's called Open Hands. And let me tell you what, this is one thing, now I should have probably included this. You'll never have an open hands unless you have an open heart, okay? And so when you have your heart opened by God and you begin to reveal and God begins those truths, then all of a sudden you'll begin to open your hands and begin to give your life away. And that's what I want you to see here. So let's read a couple of these scriptures here. And I'm going to kind of get into this and then we'll get into our opening. It says, as Jesus was walking by beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and followed him. A little further, Matthew chapter 9, it says, as Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. Matthew got up and followed him. In Mark chapter 1, when he had gone a little further, he saw James of Zebedee and his brother John in the boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and with the hired men and followed him. And then in Luke chapter 5, we see after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come today preaching on messages called Follow Me. God, you are still in the calling business, and we're still supposed to be in the following business. God, that's what we're to do with our lives. God, after we get saved, and that's the beginning of Christianity, it's not the end of something, and that starts something. It starts a life of dedication and commitment to you. And God, that's not a suggestion that you make. It's a commandment that you give us. That's why we call you Lord. And the word Lord means you're the boss. And so we begin to listen to you. And why we listen to you, though, is because we trust you. And God, you know what it takes to satisfy us. You know what it takes to make us happy and have that joy that we long for, Lord. God, you know those things. And so, God, you lay those things out for us, God, in ways that we might not ever think of or maybe ever look for, because we look as the world does. We look from a fleshly, and we think that having more and doing more in this world is going to bring us to the happiness we're longing for. But, God, we have learned through this series that that's all a lie. It brings a sense of satisfaction, but doesn't bring the true satisfaction where it comes from the peace of God that brings us the happiness that we long for. So, God, let us look to you. Let this series teach us, God, what we look for, what we want more, what we need more than anything else is we need that fresh anointing from you, that walking in the Spirit day by day with you, Lord. And, God, that brings us the satisfaction. That brings us the happiness that we have. Doesn't mean that all our situations are going to be happy, Lord. Doesn't mean all our situations are going to be good. But, God, it brings us into a point where we have a peace with you because we know that you're in control of all. And we can trust you, Lord. And that brings us the happiness that we long for. So, God, use this portion of the message here as we've gone through this series, God. Let this understand is giving away our lives is what truly brings satisfaction to it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. So we're talking about letting go of ourselves and letting go of our selfishness just to be happy. And so why did we go through a series on happy? Because that's what everybody wants to be. All of us want to be happy. And there's nothing wrong with being happy in the Christian life. The first thing we started out with, the thing, is a lot of people believe the lie is I can either be holy or I can be happy. But what we learn through that is holiness leads to happiness. And so we are giving our life to Christ, being obedient to Christ is what brings us into the happiness that we're looking for, brings us into the satisfaction that we're longing for. And so the opening is I'm a follower or I'm a fan. We went through a series on this in our life groups a long time ago. And although I didn't pick that to do this, I think it's a truth, though. We're either a follower or a fan. We have a lot of fans in the church today. And a fan is someone that sits on the sidelines and they cheer other people on, okay? They're sitting back and it's saying, okay, y'all go get them. Y'all do this. I mean, I'll show up and I'll throw a few dollars in the offering plate or I might do a little something, but I'm not going to get committed. I'm not going to join in. I'm not going to use the gifts that God's given me to make a difference in the world around me. And so what God calls us to be, he calls us to be followers. He calls us to be disciples, and we have to understand that. So a follower, this is what a follower looks like. In Matthew 16, verses 24 through 26, it says, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must. Now, there's something you ought to underline in the scriptures. He says he must. He didn't make a recommendation. He didn't say if you wanted to. If you're having a good day, this is a good idea. He says what? He says you must deny yourself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. It says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And so what he's saying here is there's a commitment to Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we did what? We made a deal with him. And a lot of people don't understand the deal you made. And what you did is you surrendered your life. You took him as Lord and Savior. And so what a lot of people would do, they take him as Savior, saying, oh, I don't want to go to hell, but they never take him as Lord. And if you didn't take him as both, let me tell you what, you're not saved. Because the Bible says what? You take him as Lord and Savior. So we're surrendering our lives to him and saying, God, I'm yours. Thank you for being my Savior. And so we don't do what we do in church for our salvation. We do it because of our salvation. When we realize who we have in Christ and what he's done for us and the rewards that follow that, then we need to do what? It should excite us to be the people of God and what God's done for our lives. And so we have to understand that. And so it's a letting go of ourselves. So a follower is going to do what? He's laying it out here for. This is what a follower does. But now here's where most folks are at in the church. Here's where most folks are at in the church, okay? In Luke chapter 9, it says this. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, here we go, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. So here's the excuse. Here it is. Jesus said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go. What's your first in life? You know, that's what we're talking about here. See, Jesus is to be first. He's to be on the throne of our lives. And he's to be in the center. He's to be the first. He's who we're giving everything to, okay? And then what the thing is before, what so many of us do is we say that at salvation, and very quickly we begin to take our lives back. And so when there becomes a ministry opportunity, or when God calls us into something or things like that, what we have, we say this. So he says, but first let me go. And we think up something. Something becomes more important. Something begins, we begin to sacrifice our life for something else. But listen to what he says here. Listen to what he says here. But let me bury my father. Now, but what you need to realize in the Greek, what that means is, it means this. His father wasn't already dead, okay? What he's saying here is, let me go back and take care of the obligations I have to my family, okay? What we need to realize is this, is your family is God's also, amen? It's not just your responsibility. God's going to take care. If God calls you into something, he's going to take care of the rest. And what you need to realize in life is this. If you follow God, there will be some sacrifices in life. So a lot of people, what they do, they hang on to the things of this world, and it gives them an excuse to do what? It gives them an excuse not to follow the things of God. And I'd say he would probably have a pretty good one here. Let me go bury my father, okay? But again, it's not saying that his father was dead. What it's saying is he had obligations to his father. He wanted to do what? He wanted to wait till his father passed, and then he could go invest his life into things of God. But when God calls us, we're to go then. We're not to hesitate and leave the rest of it up to God. Let him take care of the rest. In verse 60, what did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. What's he saying? He's saying what? The things of God are far more important than the things of this world. See, listen, if we proclaim the things of God and people are coming to Christ, then you need to realize is you're going to spend eternity with your family. You're going to spend eternity with the people that you're longing for and you say you love and you care about. Listen, it's not when we die it's all over with. It's not like that at all. We go and spend eternity, not only with Jesus, but everybody else that's accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They're going to be there with us, and we're going to spend eternity with them. And so we understand it. So what he's doing, he's saying, compared to the things of this world, the kingdom of God is so much more important. That's what you have to understand. That's what you have to buy into. Is the things of this world is very temporary. It's very short. It comes quickly. But what the things of God are eternal, and we're going to live there far more than we ever lived here. So we should be investing in that more than we should be investing in the things of God. Now let me summarize that. This is what's going through your mind. This is how the devil works, because I sit where you sit one time. And I had a factory job. I worked in a factory for 15 years, and I know all about that. And I've had other things. I can see it for you, Brother Nathan, because you're called into ministry, and you're being paid to come and do all these things. And so how am I going to do it? Listen, when God calls you, he calls you wherever you're at. And so when you walk into your workplace, you're to be Jesus right where you're at. You're to give out tracts. You're to encourage people. You're to talk to people about the things of God. You're to try to encourage people. You're to be that salt and light wherever God places you at. And so it's not quit your job and come up here to church every day and do the things that I do unless God calls you to that. It's go be Jesus wherever you're at. Amen? And you're giving your life. You're surrendering your life. And so it's not quit what you're doing. It's be Jesus wherever God puts you at. And reach the people that God brings around us. And so that's what God calls us to, okay? And we have to understand that. So a lot of people put those things off and let other things get in the way of what God's calling them to do. So what I want to do here is, what does that look like? Well, here it is laid out perfectly for us. I mean, this is a preacher's dream here. It's laid out perfectly for us when it gets in here in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Look what he says here. Let's read it again. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And so he lays it out here what we have to do to follow Christ, what we have to do to be obedient to Christ. The first one, number one, is deny himself. That's the hard thing. It's a hard thing. If anyone would come after, he must. And denying ourselves is not natural. We're taught to do what? We're taught to indulge ourselves, to pamper ourselves, to live for ourselves. I call it the spy life. I mean, we go to spas and do what? We get all these things done because why? Because we think we deserve those things. And we do those things doing what? Making us indulging in those things because why? Because we think we deserve those things and we pamper ourselves. And so when we see something like deny myself, it goes against everything our flesh tells us. Because we're to do what? We're to put ourselves number one. We're to put ourselves first place. And so denying ourselves is not natural for us. It's a God thing. But this is a decision you have to make in your life. You'll have to make that, and not just a one-time decision. It's a daily decision we have to put in our lives. Am I going to deny myself? Am I going to truly follow Christ and be the person that God wants me to be? That's what's a decision that we have to make in our lives. It's a decision that all of us have to make in our lives. Who will I live for? And so what we're learning through our series, what we're going to be learning tonight, what you're going to be learning is that's what truly brings satisfaction. The more that we deny ourselves, the more that we give ourselves away, is what brings the satisfaction that brings in the happiness that we're longing for. But see, the devil doesn't want us to know that because he don't want us to be happy, see? He wants us to walk in here and say, oh, poor me. I had to come to church. I'm making my sacrifice here today, okay? And that's not what God wants us to be, and we have to understand that, see? And so it's a decision. So we have to choose either self in this world or God in the kingdom of God. And we have to do what? We have to buy into that. We have to grab hold of that. And we begin to live our lives. As we go through our lives, we have to live our lives from that perspective of who's number one in our lives. And so the first thing is I've got to deny myself. The second thing is this. He says, take up his cross. Take up his cross there in verse 24. I remember I was in Mexico here several years ago. Several of us went on some mission trips to Mexico several years. And I remember going into a thing, walking into a market. They carried us to a market one day and let us go in there and you know, to go eat and things like that. And I remember walking up there, and it was a man sitting there with all these crosses. And this is what the sign said. It said, cheap crosses, you know. And I came back immediately. That was when I got back from Mexico. I mean, I worked on a message, I mean, probably the next week or the next week. Because, I mean, I sat there and watched that man. He had all these crosses, some beautiful crosses, okay? I mean, it had really nice cross, had wood and things. But it had a sign there that said, cheap crosses. And that's what a lot of people want in life. They want a cheap cross. You know, they recognize the grace of God, the mercy of God, and all those things, but they want it cheaply. They don't want to give much for it. They don't want to have to give in anything. And so it's like, yes, I want to take you as Savior. I want to go to heaven. You know, I want you to be good to me and do all those things, but now I'm not sacrificing my life for you here because I have my own dreams. I have my own aspirations. I have my own goals in life. And so, God, you know, I'm just going to kind of tack you on to what I'm already doing. It doesn't work like that. See, that's not what the word Lord means. The word Lord means I'm putting you first. You're the boss. You're calling the shots. And so it's a surrendering. And that's what keeps so many people from coming to Christ is they don't want to give up something. They don't want to give up their lives, see? And so we have to understand it's a giving up. He calls it here taking our cross, taking up our cross. So taking up my cross means what? Dying to myself is what it means. Dying to myself, my ideas, my dreams, my goals, my rights, and saying, God, I'm yours. Maybe you hadn't seen the sign or the thing that we put over the door when you walk in. It says what? Anytime, anywhere, anytime, anywhere, what is it? I'm yours, yeah. Anytime, anywhere, any cost, I'm yours. Mike and I went to a lot of trouble to put that up there, trying to get it straight and everything. I want y'all to know. But he had to spit on it several times. We wanted that when you walked in because why? Because that's what we're to do when we're to do with our lives. We're to say, when we get up every day, say, God, you know, anytime, anywhere, at any cost, I'm yours, God. I'm yours. I want to make a sacrifice with my life. And what we're learning this week is this, and what I already know is one thing, is when we do that, the happier we will be. The more we give our lives away, the happier we will be. And that's not what most of you haven't bought into that. You don't think that. And I come here week after week after week, and I preach messages on commitment. You say, Brother Nathan, you're just trying to get us to do more to church. No, I'm not. I'm trying you to get do more for the Lord wherever you're at in whatever capacity. If it's a church, fine. It needs to be at the church also. We need you here also. But also the world needs you out doing things for it also. But what I'm saying is you'll find far more joy, you'll find far more happiness in your life as you give your life away. Now, did I say it was easy? No. Did I say it was time-consuming? It is time-consuming. Did I say it wasn't work? It is work. And so when you go and you put yourself out there and you make yourself available and you begin to minister to people, you've got some skin in the game. There's going to be some time. There's going to be some expense. There's going to be something that you have to give up. And what do you give up? The things that you might enjoy to. You might have to give up some TV time. Wow, that'd be bad. You might give up a vacation. You know, you might give up some family time. You'll give up some things. And so what you need to realize, though, is when we give ourselves to God, it'll bring the joy and the peace that we long for and we look for in life. So it's trusting God enough. Let me read this. I wrote this down yesterday. It's trusting God enough to believe that He can truly satisfy me. Do you believe that? You trust God enough that by giving your life to Him, you're saying, God, I really believe that you can bring satisfaction in my life. I really believe that you can make me happy because I know what it, you know what it takes to make me happy, even though I don't. See, we've told you week after week, what? Do you know what, you know, what would make you happy? Most of you have never took the time to sit down and write down, okay, this is what would take to make me happy. So you're living life saying, I want to be happy, but you've never taken the time to write down what it would take to be, what time to make you happy. I mean, how often, how far have you got to go to find happiness in this life? And so the problem is that we don't think he can make us happy. That's the problem. I'm just telling you, this is what your problem is. I know, same thing I deal with too. Is that I don't think God's able to make me happy. I don't think he knows what it takes to make me happy. Well, let me tell you, that's just a lie from hell. Amen? That's a lie from hell because God does know what it takes us to be happy. And we as individuals, he's not just throwing us in the one big pot and say, okay, I'm just going to stir it up. Because there's different things that will make different people happy. There's different ministries. There's different things to plug into and be a part of. And one thing that I don't fit in this thing, that I've got something else to fit into. One of the things that we do with our sheets, Mike keeps talking to you about the sheets, getting you to fill out those sheets, you know. You think, well, you're just trying to twist our arm to get us to do something. Yeah, well, that's true too, because we have to have people to serve, okay. But the thing is this, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. It's not always going to be easy and fun. It's not always, ministry never is. Anything in life is not always easy and fun, anything worth having. And you need to realize that. It's the same in Christian ministry. But at the end of the day, when you get through and you walk down and you lay in your bed that night, there's going to be a sense of accomplishment. There's going to be a sense of satisfaction that I did what God wanted me to do today. I can tell you that it is. I did what you called me to do today. I sacrificed. I took away from the things that I had in this world and I devoted them to the things of God. And I have a satisfaction that I find in devoting myself to you. And that's what God calls us to do. And it's there. And so what happens is we don't think God can make us happy. But listen, what you need to realize is this, is God's plans for you is a lot bigger than you have for yourself. It's not do more. A lot of times it's do less. It's being wise with your time, being wise with how you do things and how you invest your life is what it is. Because a lot of us just waste our time. You know, what did you do yesterday? Well, it rained, you know. Well, what, Netflix? You know, I mean, that's what, I mean, you know, I watched a movie, Mona likes these romance, Hallmark kind of movies, you know. So I watched one the other day. What was it, Mona? You Before Me or Me Before You or something like that. Have any of y'all ever seen that movie before? That's a good movie, isn't it? Well, I actually watched that the other day. Didn't cry. I didn't cry. I almost did, but I didn't cry. But I sat there, but at the end of it, it's like, well, man, you know, that's okay. But, you know, that was, what, an hour and a half or 2 hours, you know. I could have done something else, but it was a good show. And so I do those things also. But listen, if I do it too much, it's like, man, I got to do something. I need to invest my life because, one, we've only got so much life to give. Our life is very quick in this world, and it passes us by, and we have to devote ourselves and begin to give ourselves to making a difference in the world around us. But God calls us to bigger things. He calls us to God-sized things. And man, let me tell you what, he'll carry you further than you ever thought you'd ever go. He'll do things with your life that you never thought you could do, because it's not you doing, it's him doing it through you. I told our Wednesday night group, and I remind them this forever, I know I'm way over my head here, you know. I would have never dreamed I'd have been here. I'd have never thought that I'd ever been pastoring a church. It was the furthest thing that I ever thought in my life, you know. So when I gave my life to Christ and he called me in the ministry, all I told him was I'm just going to make myself available. And let me tell you what, when you begin to make yourself available to God, watch out. Because he's going to begin to do something in your life. There's no telling what he'll do, or where he'll carry you, or where you'll be in life. For some of you, see, it scares you. See, you get scared. You say, oh, I don't know. I don't. But listen, after you really get to trust, here we go again. After you get to know God, and after you get to trust God, then that brings you to love him, and that brings you to obedience, and that brings you to service. And all of a sudden, you're not concerned about what's God going to do with your life, because wherever you go and whatever you do, you know he's already going to be there working through you and for you. Amen? And so then it becomes exciting for you. It becomes exciting. When people ask me all the time about the jail ministry, about going to, aren't you scared of going to jail? And I say, no, I'm not scared of going to jail, you know. And why is it? I don't know. I'm just not. I'm just not scared of going to the jail. They don't frighten me like they do some people. Some people are frightened by it. I'm not frightened by that. I know there's people just like we are, okay? They've made a mistake. They've gotten caught. Some of you made bigger mistakes than they have and just didn't get caught yet, okay? And so it doesn't mean you won't, but you go in and you realize that they're a creation of God just like we are. And so God's just given me the ability to walk in there without any sense of fear. I mean, I don't do that, so I don't know why. It's just this God thing. But God's got a calling on your life. Jail ministry is not for everybody, okay? Children's ministry is not for everybody. Youth ministry is not for everybody, okay? But God's got you. He's put you. He's designed you. He's created you, and He's got you to do something in the world to make a difference in the world. Listen, to make a difference in the world for His glory and not just yours. For His glory and not just yours. And that's what will bring a satisfaction that's what you can't get over, you can't get past. And what it is, it's addictive. I confessed to our church here a few years ago, or maybe, I don't know, I can't remember now. I confessed to our church is this. I caught myself sometimes going on mission trips because it brings such a sense of satisfaction to you. You go and you help people, you rebuild a house, or you do whatever you do, and then and you walk away, and those people, they thank you. They were the ones that were blessed, and they were blessed by you being there and being a part of that. But let me tell you what: you walk away with a sense of satisfaction and a sense of feeling good about yourself that you made a difference in somebody's life. That it can get addictive. And all of a sudden, it's like, man, I really enjoyed that because we all need that. We need to feel that way. I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference in this world. Amen? I want to make a difference in this world. I want people to, when I leave this world, I want to feel like that maybe they lost something here, okay? Because I was doing something to make a difference in people's lives. And you can get addicted to that. And so I catch myself sometimes checking my motives and why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it just to make me feel good or is it to bless other people? I think it'll be both. But let me tell you what it is we need to make sure that our motives is, if more than anything else, is we're to honor God and thank God. And as He does that, He leads us. But see, He knows what it takes to make us feel that way. And there's a sense of satisfaction. There's a sense of joy. I mean, if you ever go on a mission trip, we work hard. We're tired. We get dirty. We sleep on air mattresses and all those kind of things. And all it's not like a picnic. And some people think vacation. It's not like that. Just come with us one time. I can assure you, if you're lazy, you won't want to go back again. Okay, I'll make sure of that. Okay, I'm gonna make sure you're gonna be tired when you walk back. Okay, and so it's one of those things but there's a sense of satisfaction that you can't find in anything else like that. See. And what that's of the Lord, because you're doing it for Him and for His glory and for His honor. And we're being Christ wherever God cares us to be. And so we live in a world that does what? It wants cheap thrills. And it can be seen in Christianity probably more than anything else. And we treat Christ like He's a pair of old shoes, and we just kind of put Him on and put Him off when we want to. People do the church the same way. Well, they come to church to see what I can get rather than what I can give. And that's not what the church is here for. This is not a food bar where you just pick and choose. You're to get involved and be a part and do what God calls you to do in His church. And so a lot of people do what? They wear a cross, but they never intend on carrying one. And is that maybe where you're at? Maybe you've got a cross around your neck, or you got it on the bumper sticker of your car, or whatever it is. But you know nothing about taking up your cross and following Christ. And what that means is, again, you're denying yourself. You're giving yourself up and following Christ because He's your Lord and your Savior. And so the last thing is, the third thing is this, is follow Him. Follow Him. A disciple is a person that follows to learn. So you had the apostles, and you had the 12, you had the apostles, but then you had the disciples, and those were hundreds or maybe thousands of people. And so we're disciples of Christ, okay? And we're doing what? A disciple is someone that follows to learn. And the more we follow Christ, the more we become like Him. So I should be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. If I'm not, I'm going in the wrong direction. And so I should be more and more like the person of Jesus Christ, and because He's teaching me, and He's teaching me to follow, and I'm becoming more and more like Him. And we call following our ministry, and that's where our challenge begins to begin. So as I follow Christ and He calls me in the ministry, what happens is then I've got this decision to make. See, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, okay? And then what happens is, as you begin to grow and mature, then the Holy Spirit begins to manifest the gifts that He's given you out through you. And then when you realize what God's calling you to, and some of you don't even know that. Some of you have been saved for a long time. And you say, well, Brother Nathan, I don't know what to put on that paper because I don't know what God's calling me to. Well, you need to come talk to me. If you've been saved very long at all and you don't know what the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, then we need to have some conversation, okay? Because what? Because I can assure you God's called you to something. And it's not sitting in a pew, okay, or not sitting in a chair, okay? That's not what God's called us to. But as you go through that, what happens is that all of a sudden God begins to call you, and you'll see it through. God opens a door, or something happens over here. Someone asks you to serve in some kind of capacity, or you see a need in somebody's life. Then that's when the choice begins. That's when the decision comes in. And here's how it's going to go. You've got God over here on one side saying, this is what you should be doing with your life. And then you've got the world, the flesh, and the devil over here fighting you and say, but look what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some time. And man, you need to be with your family. Oh, it's going to cost you some money. Oh man, you haven't got any money to give, you know. Or maybe you won't be able to get along with her. Maybe you'll fail, or maybe you won't do right. And so all those lies, how do I know that? Because the devil lies to me too. Amen. He's a liar and he lies to you. What you need to do is say, God, I can't, but you can. Here we go. And all you've got to do is say, open your hands, what we're calling open hand, and saying, God, I'm available. And when you make yourself available, watch what God can do. And I don't know what capacity God's going to call you in this church or in the world or whatever, but God will call you to something. I can assure you that, because he knows that's what brings the satisfaction that leads to what? The satisfaction that leads to the peace, that leads to the happiness that we all long for in life. And it's coming from him. So it's a following him. And so we follow him in our ministries, and that's where the challenge begins. And all of a sudden, what happens at this point is where you're making a decision here. You're either going to be a fan. And a fan stands back and he watches people serve God. It's what they're doing for God. It's what they're doing for God. It's what God's doing with them. Or you're a follower. It's what God's doing with us. It's what God's doing with me. What God's making a difference in other people's lives. And so there's the choice that you have to make in life. Am I going to be a fan and watch what God does? Or am I going to follow and be a part of what God's doing? We have to make that choice. Now, what does that look like? Well, the rest of the message, I want to show you what it looks like. And let me tell you what. Listen, it's not all cleaned up and make it look good. Because, listen, when you get in ministry, you need to realize that you're going against the world, the flesh, and the devil. There is a battle that goes on. There's a pull there. There's a tug there. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost your family something. It's going to cost the people around you. So I don't want to clean it up and say, just come to Jesus and everything's going to be all right. Because why? Don't none of us believe that, okay? Come to Jesus and you're always going to be happy. That's not true. You're going to get your hands dirty. And so you need to realize that. Ministry can get ugly sometimes. And I want to show you that. So what does ministry look like? What does following Christ look like? Well, the first one I wrote down is this, and it could be many, is in Genesis 6, verses 11 through 14. It says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people of the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all these people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Here we go in verse 14. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood and make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. And so the following for Noah was what? Was building a boat. Building a boat. And the thing about it is, listen to this. Listen, it took him 120 years. Took him 120 years. Everybody around him thought he was crazy because, as far as we know, it never had rained, okay? And so, I mean, here, crazy Noah, okay? 120 years of his life was doing what? His following God was what? Building a boat. That's what it was. Who would think that? Building a boat. But that's what it was. Here's another one in Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So what was their following? What was their calling? What is going to a fiery furnace? That's not what we're all looking for. None of us want to be a martyr. That's something you get to do one time, okay? But a fiery furnace, let them into a fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 6 in verse 22, it says, my God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. Who was that? Anybody know? Daniel in the lion's den. There was another martyr. Daniel in the lion's den. Got following God brought him to a lion's den. And then the last one is this in John 9:19 and verse 30. And when he received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And what was that? That was a cross. That was a cross. And so what I'm saying here today is, you say, well, God's life is not that exciting. Let me tell you what, that's not true. He can call you to build a boat, he can call you to a fiery furnace, he can call you into a lion's den, or he might even call you on a cross. But let me tell you what, one thing you're going to find out in Christianity and in God's service, it's going to be exciting. It's exciting because why? Because you're making a difference in people's lives. You're making an eternal difference in people's lives. And doing what? Seeing God work through you. There's many a times, multiple times, that I walk out of a situation and thinking, man, that had to be a God thing. That couldn't have been me. I mean, it had to be a God thing. It couldn't have been me. And when you do that, all of a sudden you find that reassurance that God's working through you. He's working in you that he might work through you. And he's making a difference to the world around you because of your willing to say, here I am. Here I am, God, and I'm willing. I'm available. Here I am. I want you to use me. So being a follower has a price, but it's a life that does bring satisfaction. And it's only doing what? Only letting go of this life can we truly find happiness in the things that we long for. See, and that's what you've got to understand. That's what you've got to believe. That's what you've got to trust God for. Most of you are sitting here today and you don't believe that God can make you happy. You don't think that holiness and happiness goes together. And that's through this series, that's what we've tried to teach you is that when you give your life over to God, you'll find the things that you're longing for. You'll find the peace and you'll find this happiness and you'll find the joy that you're longing for. And so where the world says you can't find it at the church, you can't find it in God, God's saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Here it is. Here it is for the taking. But most of you are going to buy into the lie. Most of you are going to walk out this door and get in your cars and you're going to forget about this message and you're going to go say, well, I have to go to church and I have to read my Bible and I have to pray and I have to give and I have to go. And listen, it shouldn't be a life like that at all. We don't have to. We what? Get to. We get to. And when you understand the things of God, you begin to get to do the things of God. What causes us to stop? Well, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We live in a world where seeing is believing, but God says, believe, and then I'll show you what I want you to do. And so, see, first of all, you believe in God, and then he begins to show you. And he only shows you one step at a time. See, what we want it all mapped out. We want God, okay, here we are. Okay, God, I'm going to do this, but how's it going to end? God says, you're just going to have to trust me on that. You're just going to have to trust me on that because that takes faith. And so he just shows us one step at a time and one step at a time and one step at a time. But when you get way over here and all of a sudden you see what God's done with your life, you look back and you know what you see? You see God, 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 God. And you think, man, God can use, God will use me. And all it comes is open your hands and saying, God, I surrender, I'm available, I'm yours. You know, anywhere, anytime, any cost, I'm yours, I'm available. And watch God do something in your life. That's what brings satisfaction. That's what brings peace. That's what brings happiness in our lives. Doesn't mean it's not challenging. Doesn't mean it's not hard. Doesn't mean you're not going to get your hands dirty. But listen, getting your hands dirty a lot of times is the exciting part of it. It's the adventurous part of it. You don't know what's going to happen. You're kind of uncertain. You don't know. And you're just saying, God, I'm yours. I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. I don't know where I'm going, but I know you're already there. Amen? And I know that I can trust you in this. And that's where the satisfaction, that's where the thrill of living the Christian life comes from. And so in closing, look at this. Am I a follower or a fan? A follower does what? It follows Christ. It gets some skin in the game. It gets to be a part of what God's doing. Or am I a fan? A fan stands back and watches what God's doing and what the people of God are doing. So you need to ask yourself, which one am I? Lesson to learn today, we can be happy as we face our fears. There's always going to be fear. See, you're afraid to let go. You think that God can't bring the happiness and the longing you're looking for, the satisfaction you're looking for. But he can. See, he can. He just wants you to trust him and let go. And the application is following is a choice to make. Following is a choice to make. You have to make a choice. There's a decision you have to make in life. The first decision is about your salvation. Maybe you're here today. You never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's a decision that you make. How do you do that? You admit that you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross your sins. And you confess him as your Lord and as your Savior. And when we do that, it says what? That he becomes our Heavenly Father and we become his children. That's called being saved, accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, being born again, whatever you want to call it. It's having a relationship with God is what it is. And that's where we start. That's where we get in at, okay? Then what's the rest of it is the following. It's a day-to-day choice of who I'm going to live for. God, am I going to live for you or am I going to live for myself? God, am I going to live for this world or am I going to live for the world to come? Am I a kingdom builder or am I just building my kingdom in this world? And that's what brings the satisfaction. That's the choices that we make on a day-to-day basis in the church. I make that choice, you make that choice daily of who I'm going to live for, who's going to be first place in my life. But let me tell you what, I've been a Christian now for 30-something years now. And I can tell you what, I'm a satisfied customer. And I have realized that I can never give too much to God. I can never give too much to God. And I'm not just saying here, I'm trying to give to God to get something back. I'm not saying, well, I give my tithe that God might bless me financially, or I give my time that God might bless me some other way. I'm not saying that. I have to check my motives, because sometimes I get caught up in that just like you do, okay? But what I have found is this, is that He brings me satisfaction because of who He is and what He's done for me. Amen? He gives me the satisfaction that I long for. What I was looking for in life without God is what I found when I found God. And so the thing is that He was looking for me all the time. I didn't have to find Him. He was seeking after me, and He drew me to Him, and I said yes. And now my day-to-day life is, God, let it be used for You. Let it be used for You. And I want to be more convinced of that tomorrow than I am today. I want to finish well in life. I told you here I have a new phrase that I read in a book here not long ago. It's called FOMO, F-O-M-O. Fear of missing out. I have a fear of missing out on what God's doing in my life. Because why? Because you can get comfortable. I've been here for 12 years, going on 13 years now. I can get comfortable sitting back there in the seat. I told Mike this week, I went and did some things outside the office, and I told him, I said, I don't want to be my ministry just sitting back here in the office reading about God. I want to be out there, going out there being Christ to someone, amen? And so it's not just as much about learning about Christ as it being Christ. Let me tell you what, I know a whole lot about this Bible, and I'm not applying to my life, and most of you do also. So let's don't make it just something we learn. Let's make it something we live. Amen? That's what God calls us to. He's not satisfied if you just get it here. He wanted you to give it out here. He wants to make a difference in your life, and I'm trying to do that with my life, and I want to lead by model. I don't want to get in my older years and sit down on God. I want to make a difference in my life. You know, I want to keep going and keep pressing and keep being the person that God wants me to do. Amen? And that's what God wants from this, from you, and that's what He wants from this church. And so let's go and be followers of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You today, dear God. And it's so easy to sit down on You. It's so easy to be comfortable. But God, if we see today, God, You have a calling on our lives. And You've called us. You tell us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow You. And God, it feels like I'm here today trying to twist somebody's arm into believing that. But God, I can't do that. That's only Your Holy Spirit. So God, I pray that people are sitting out here today that they get that. God, Your Holy Spirit works in their lives to show them that truth, Lord. That the things they're longing for, the things they're looking for in life is truly found in You. Not just knowing about You, not just believing in You, but believing You and living it out day by day. That's where the true satisfaction, that's where the joy, that's where the peace, that's where the happiness comes from, is when we see our lives making a difference in other people's lives. And so this is not a world where we're just to get. It's a world that we're to give. And we'll never be more like Jesus when we're giving our lives away. Whether it be in this church as a ministry, whether it be out on the street, whether it be in our jobs, whether it be in our family. But when we're being the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus Christ, it's what will bring that satisfaction that we long for more than anything, Lord. And that's what leads to the happiness that we've been talking about over these last several weeks. So God, show us that, drill that truth into us, Lord, that we might live it out day by day. We love You and we praise You, and we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen.